Welcome to Ugeria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ugeria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ugeria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ugeria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. It's October 19th. This is Brad Culp, and it is a rainy, nasty, cold, congested traffic day in Georgia, in Atlanta, Georgia.
Why don't you just be real negative about the whole thing?
You know, traffic and weather seem to be our favorite topics in Atlanta, and we got loads of both of them today.
That's only true when you're here, because when you're in Dallas, you become the favorite topic of conversation.
Well, you guys beat me up, I know.
Absolutely.
So I've got Sam in the studio with me this morning, and we've got guest producer Trevor.
Trevor is the head assistant producer of the show.
So good morning, Trevor. Oh, you don't have a microphone this morning. Okay. No, you don't. I mean, you don't have to talk if you don't want to.
We'd like for Lee to do the same, but we can't keep him off the air.
That's true. Well, we got a great show this morning, as always. We have Kevin in Dallas with Keith Colley from Jewel Family Care Homes. We're going to get to him in a moment. But first, we have David DeLucia from Assisted Living Locators. David is the owner of this organization and founder, I think. Good morning, David.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you? Did you stay dry this morning?
I did.
And the strange thing was, I went out and I fed the dog this morning, and it was bone dry out. And so I shoved the dog out the door, and nobody's home. My wife's gone this week. And shoved him out the door, and by the time I got upstairs in my car pulling out of the garage, it was absolutely pouring. And, of course,
that must have been right around probably 7:30, because I was sitting in my car at the coffee shop trying to get out of my car into the coffee shop, and I couldn't do it.
it's crazy. I'm ready for some more sunshine. We had a little break with some nice sunshine, but last week was rainy all week, too. But anyway, we digress. David, again, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
As we always start the show, what we'd like to start with is just hearing a little bit about you, about where you're from, where you went to school, how you ended up where you are today.
Yeah, thank you. I'm originally from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I was born there. But I was there for my formative years. I've lived in the Atlanta, Georgia area, though, for the last 20. Education-wise, I went to the University of South Florida. With a degree in economics, and that was before they had the football team. So,
well, I'm a West Virginia grad, so we've got some common blood here.
Yeah. So, but after I graduated there, I moved to the Atlanta area, and started. I spent a good portion of my years in the banking arena. I was doing that, also doing some medical sales. And then in around 2000, had an opportunity with Bank of America, mostly doing helping clients with small business. I typically handled clients with revenues anywhere from $2 million up to $10 million, and was their point of contact, mm-hmm. their go-to guy. Last year, early 2010, decided to do something a little different. Explored a franchise opportunity with Assisted Living Locators. Got into that. One of the reasons why I got into it was, number one, I've always been in a situation where I, regardless of what industry I've been in, I'm always in the problem resolution part of things. I'm always solving problems, and in a lot of instances with assisted living locators, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. Really does deal with, there's a lot of marketing involved, getting to know people, getting to know the facilities and the communities, the personal care homes. And what I do is a lot of times when I do get phone calls, it's usually a situation where mom and dad, the family may be in a potential crisis, and they need help sometimes immediately.
So let me back you up just a moment.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Sam and I being in a franchise organization as well, and having watched some significant changes in our franchise as the ownership changed, and watching the environment around us change over the past 7 or 8 years since we've been doing this, why, what was it that drew you to this particular opportunity? I mean, first of all, you know, there are tons of different kinds of franchises, and then, you know, within your industry, I got to imagine there are a number of choices among franchises that do what you do. So what was it that drew you to this particular opportunity?
Well, the one part of it was working with seniors. Believe it or not, I also, in my previous industry, I did work with folks that were a little bit older. I've always had that draw to the senior community. I have parents that are seniors, and they're doing well. They're fine. But that concept of just helping, looking for people, helping people, and again, a lot of times I may not necessarily deal with the senior right away. About 90% of the time I'll deal with the adult children.
Yeah.
And that part of it was what drew me to it. And to back up to kind of what we do, we're a referral services company that provides the options, elder care options, including independent living, assisted living, personal care homes, and home care agencies. We are of no cost to the client. We meet with the families and we tour them. To give you an example, I had a call about 2 months ago. It was a Monday afternoon around 4, and got a call from the adult daughter, saying that her mother was in a rehab in Sandy Springs. And she had fallen a few times and broke her hip, broke a shoulder. And she had been there for about 6-7 weeks. And as we all know with the Medicare situation, that Medicare, that 100 days, was coming up. And I said, well, how much time do we need? Well,
today.
Thursday. So
we know that that story very, very well.
Yeah. So I said, okay, well, Let me do some research. You know, she was looking for Johns Creek, Cumming area. So that Monday afternoon, it was about 5 o'clock, but I was able to get a hold of some people to see what the availability was for a one-bedroom studio. To make a long story short, that Wednesday we toured 4 properties. We actually went back to the first property that she wanted because she wanted to take a look at it again. So technically, I took her to five places, and then by that weekend or by that Monday, she was moved in.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow,
that yeah. So those are some of the things. I've had situations where mom or dad may be in an independent living and may not be getting the full care. She might have to do some. You know, there may be some additional help there, and it's just increasing the cost. And what I've been able to do is get them into personal care homes, and we try to make the move as simple and quick and painless as possible for the client.
David, we as long as we've been doing this show, it amazes me that the general population there's still a lot of confusion about what services are out there and what facilities actually do. And where I'm going with this, if possible, can you briefly tell us in your own words, what is a personal care home? What is an independent living facility? What is an assisted living facility? You know, and it doesn't have to be formal, but just describe it to our listeners so they have some idea.
Yeah, typically the way I define an independent living is, and there's some little sub points
there,
to
no,
it. But,
there's no, but it's not black and white.
Right,
it's gray.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a couple of different places. Like you might have a senior apartment where it's 55 and older, and it's totally independent living. In other words, they won't do. It's it, you're still driving, you're still doing the day-to-day activities. The apartments will actually have kitchens, stoves, things like that.
This is a social community where right. you're still independently living.
Exactly. Now, there are other independent ones where they you still may have the oven and everything like that, but you'll typically get two meals. It'll either be breakfast with a combination of lunch or dinner, and then you know, there'll be different activities on site. That's how I define the independent living.
I think you brought up a point there that as we began, it's not black and white. If someone wants to remain independent in an independent facility, mm-hmm. then they have to dissect that down.
Right.
What you know, what at what level and how much independency are they looking for?
Right. Because some people may be independent, but then they'll say, you know, Dad just doesn't have the desire to cook meals. Well, that kind of puts you in that second category where you get the meals.
Yeah, so I think there may be some confusion on some people's part, you know, backing further up in the equation, going from independent living to like a 55-plus community mm-hmm. and then back to just a plain old apartment. And
exactly.
What are the differences there? So yeah. So how is there a difference between an over 55 community and an independent living community?
I would say with some of the like there may be like a certain apartment complexes that you see that are 55 and older. Again, when what they do is it's just the complex itself. No meals, you do everything. They may have a nice workout facility, might have
right,
the pool,
right.
whereas there's that independent living, and that's where I come in and I try to ask as many questions. Really what I do when I'm interviewing the client, there's four things that I'm looking at: location, level of care. You know, do they need assistance with bathing and dressing
sure,
or anything
sure.
like that? Now, if it's independent, that's not going to happen. Their budget, I mean, and the budget, and then preferences. You know, do you like the idea of a big, large community, or do you prefer like a home type setting?
Right.
I hope I answered your question there.
No, yeah. That's just trying to draw some distinctions here because
yeah.
I think there's probably some confusion out there, and some people might say, well, you know, why not just find a nice apartment complex, which certainly mm-hmm. is an option, but that
yeah.
probably isn't going to provide the dining options that
right.
an independent living
well,
might offer.
And the beauty of the 55 over, it has to do with socialization. You
yeah.
know, that's the biggest problem one of the largest problems that I see in the senior market is that they lose contact with their lifelong friends mm-hmm. and social networks. This affords them the opportunity to reestablish, to socially, to have a life, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Right. Now, David, do you have agreements with these communities in advance, or I mean, how does that work?
I do, and then sometimes if we're looking and I see a place that looks really nice, or I might have been there, we'll work with the owners. And
so if somebody comes to you and says, you know, I'm looking for a place to live, I don't know exactly what I'm looking for, but I did notice, you know, this place here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have an agreement with that place, you're still going to open up conversations with
that
community.
Exactly. We will do that.
And one other question, how do people find you? You know, typically, where are your referrals coming from?
Well, my referrals now, I do have a website and working with somebody to help me do the search engine optimizing and things like that. I do get a lot of things word of mouth. As a matter of fact, I just made two placements this month. One found my information on the internet and was a coming resident, and he found me, and then long story short, I ended up placing his father. Well, a week later, I got a call from his brother-in-law stating that his 86-year-old mother having a lot of medical issues, has basically been horizontal for the last 6 months, had some complications after hysterectomy surgery and then hernia repair. and it's just had a really, really tough time. And that was actually one where we actually had to refer her to a personal care home, which again was in the Milton area, the other side, Alpharetta, Milton area.
Sure.
But we actually went out on two occasions to the rehab. That's where she had been for the last several weeks recovering. And as you know, I checked with the son, and he says she loves it there.
Yeah. So are you getting more calls through the internet, or is it through the result of personal face to face?
I think it's 50-50 right now.
Is it?
Yeah.
Are you, and I know you said this is a franchise, are you restricted to a geographical location?
It's based on zip code.
Okay.
And I work the North Metro Georgia area. I have two wonderful colleagues in Atlanta, Maria DeLaGuardia and Susan Reeder, who started about a year before I did.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great. Mm-hmm. They're wonderful.
So in essence, for our listening audience, that you pretty well cover the entire North Metro area.
Yeah, I go all the way to the top of the state.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. What do you find, and I know you said that your principal contact or your initial contact is usually with adult children. What is the first obstacle that you typically face when you begin that conversation?
Well, one of the things, it's really getting to know what their situation is. I'd say most of the time the adult children know what's happened. They know, I've seen changes in mom or dad. And they're very, they may already know that they're showing signs of, early stages dementia, things like that. The one challenge that I come across is just not knowing exactly what the finances are. Mm-hmm. I don't know. A lot of times though, we will come across, a senior who may be getting veterans benefits, might have a pension from a job because they worked up, they might have worked in a company up north and they're down here. And then the one thing, this happens especially with widows. You have a situation where we're kind of going through the income, and then a question, I usually ask the question, your dad, I understand he's deceased. Did he serve during wartime? Oh, yeah, he was a decorated World War II veteran, or he was in the Korean conflict. Well, that opens up potentially another door for them with the aid and attendance benefit.
And elaborate on that. How are those benefits? Why are those benefits transferable?
It's a benefit that's out there that was designed for veterans that served during wartime. And I've got a couple of people that I work with. And when we do have that conversation, I tell them, look, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial planner by any means, but if he served during wartime, again, it goes back to the problem resolution. If I can't find the answer, I'll find somebody who does. But but that could potentially for a surviving spouse, there's potentially somewhere between $950 or $1,000, and that's the difference between potentially being in a Medicaid semi-private room versus being in a really nice facility.
Sure.
Yeah, we appreciate that. And as we approach Veterans Day in November, this show, Ugeria, is going to dedicate two or three shows specifically to veterans. So for our listening audience that want to obtain more information about veteran benefits as it relates to long-term care, you can certainly do that in the next upcoming weeks.
Very good. So, David, if I just completely spaced this, just slap my hand. But families start to make plans for moving a loved one, what would be one piece of advice that you would give to them?
Well, I would really try to make sure that they have an idea of what. Get an idea of what their budget is, and then, going back to the four things that I talked about, the location, what do they prefer? Are they social? Do they like to interact with people? Because sometimes I'll get people saying, well, you know, Dad wasn't much of a social person. And in that case, we could look at a personal care home for him. Mom's the life of the party. She'd love a larger facility. Just get an idea of, you know, what they have. The other thing that I want to make sure, too, that I let people know is that we don't turn anybody away. I do have a contact in Atlanta that helps me with Medicaid placements, and she's great. And I actually have some that are, you know, in the North Georgia area. We have some down in Atlanta. Maria and Susan have helped me out tremendously for that. And, you know, what I tell the children is, just plan accordingly, and also look into, you know, the possibilities of getting some type of long-term care insurance, because sometimes they'll say to me, I didn't serve in right. combat. I really don't have much, Dad's been living with me for all this time.
Right.
One of the things I do too is, start now while you're still young, and put something together so that when your children, work with you, you'll have something in place so right. you don't become a burden.
So plan in advance, take kind of a holistic view of, mm-hmm. of the entire process, mm-hmm. kind of a broad view. And that's great. Good advice. Yeah. Thank you. For our listeners that might want to contact you, how would they do that?
My office number is 678-965-3459. Email david@assistedlivinglocators.com, and then my website www.assistedlivingnorthga.com.
Very good. Thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
And at this point, we are going to go over to Kevin in Dallas with Keith Cawley of Jewel Family Care Homes. Good morning, Kevin.
All right. Thanks, guys. I am joined today in Dallas by Keith Cawley with Jewel Family Care Homes. Keith, thank you for taking the time today to come out and talk with us.
Thank you very much.
So, Keith, let's start out by having you give us your background, where you're from, and how you came to be where you are now.
Well, Kansas City is my home, and I went to college in Joplin and graduated years ago, and with a degree in Christian education and also one in the ministry. And I set out, went to Canada for a while and worked up there, and was asked to come to Kansas City. And I worked there for quite a few years and with a particular church there. And a lot of changes were taking place in my life, and I felt like it was a time for a move. So I ended up in Dallas. And actually, a big change of events. I built furniture that were for lofts and urban homes in the Dallas area, because Dallas was changing at that point, and I decided to tag into that. Then, after doing that for a few years, I was actually at my parents' house for Christmas, and we did not turn the TV on, which is unusual for most households, and I did not know that a tsunami had hit in Asia. And I drove back to Dallas. I had a loft in downtown, and I opened the door, and I took my stuff in and flipped the TV on. And, of course, the coverage was 24/7 at that point. And I didn't even pay attention because the sound was still down. And I just stopped, and I read across the bottom, and I saw, that thousands upon thousands were killed. And I went to bed that night. Something had triggered in me, and I didn't sleep a wink. And I just knew that I was at a place in my life where I could pick up and go. So I shut things down, and over a course of a couple of weeks, through a lot of great friends and a great church and an unbelievable family, word got out that we're going to go over there, and we ended up collecting cases and cases and cases of medical supplies to help open a medical clinic in Sri Lanka. And of course, I just felt like I could throw my tool bag over my shoulder with my hammer and do whatever they needed. I mean, that was my goal, was to tear down, build, whatever they needed, only to get there to find out there was nothing there. We ended up in a village called Kota Kalar, and they lost 36,000 people.
Wow.
So we did not have the opportunity to build or tear down. Mostly people were walking around in a daze. As a matter of fact, when we arrived, they knew we were from another country. We didn't blend in quite the same. And we started getting people following us as we're walking to see the damage crowds of people were coming around and they were begging for water and food. Just ripped your heart out. So the people that we went over there to work with and to side with them said, we're going to have a change of plans here. And I think we're going to end up probably doing more counseling than anything else. And so the whole time that I was there, we did grief counseling. And there's a million and one stories about that. I had the opportunity when I got back to write my story down. And it's a part of a book on grief. But I'll share that in a minute here. When I got back into the States, I can't tell you how my life was changed. It was not the same. And nor will it, I don't think it'll ever be the same because of that experience. And a friend of mine worked for hospice, and she came to me, and she had seen the presentation from Sri Lanka and asked me if I would be interested in being a counselor for hospice. So I ended up shutting everything down and going to hospice. I actually went in as a chaplain and did that for a while and then switched over into bereavement. And I am a bereavement counselor now with Gardendale Hospice here in Dallas. And over the course of time, you go to a lot of facilities and you see a lot of different things that are taking place in our senior community that breaks your heart. There's multiple reasons. There's no finger pointing. There's no blame. There's just a lot of reasons why the care is not at its best. And it wasn't very long ago that I went to see a patient at a facility, and the patient was literally falling off the bed. And the patient was quite large, and I could not lift that patient up, and I went to get help. It took them 20 minutes to get somebody to me. And it was then I knew that I at least could do my little part. And that's when I decided to open Jewel Family Care Homes and move forward to see what I can do to make a difference in our elder community.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess the question now is, what exactly is Jewel Family Care Homes?
Well, you know, there's a lot of residential care homes in our community, and most people don't even know they exist because they're totally designed to blend into the community. Mm-hmm. It is going home, literally, but it's for seniors that need that little extra care, that little extra touch that maybe a facility can't take care of. Or, you know what, if you go to a facility these days, you're going to find that there's two caregivers to 70 residents. That, it doesn't work. And the thing with Jewel Family Care Homes that's going to be different is we have a resident companion that is going to live in the home who is also a senior that gets it. She will understand where they are. She'll be able to share in their stories and have the same memories with them. She's also going to be doing the light housekeeping. She's going to be doing their ADLs, their activities of daily living with them. We have puzzles that are designed for seniors. We've got a Wii system that we've put in for not only exercise but also for fun, designed not just for the loved one either. It's also for the families when they come. They've got things to do. Mm-hmm. We've also placed in the house a large screen so that we can Skype. And when you say Skype to an elderly loved one, they have no clue. But when they find out that they can communicate face-to-face and see their loved one, they get ecstatic about it. We're also going to be placing memory triggers throughout the house, things that will remind them of days gone by. If we're going to have a Philco, an old antique Philco radio that works. Now, they're not going to hear things from the 20s, except that it has a record player in it, too. And we have records from the 20s and 30s that they're going to be able to put in and listen to and create memories. We've got an antique popcorn popper that is from the early 1800s that was used in carnivals and fairs. And they're going to see it, and they're going to recognize that because it was used in, like, the early 1900s, and it was old then.
Yeah.
So the house is going to be filled with memory triggers. We've even got a clock that's designed so that they can hear the chime and they can count and know what time it is and not have to worry about seeing the clock anymore. I know that may sound simple, but for somebody who's 95 years old and their eyesight's deteriorating, that's really special for them.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the ratio, caregivers to residents. How many residents do you envision?
Well, we're going to start with three. And our goal is to not have any more than five in a house. And along with our resident companion that's going to live there 24/7, we're also going to have a CNA on staff. So we're really going to have two staff to three residents. We might grow in the future, but right now that is the plan so that the care is above standard.
From the standpoint of obviously the ratio is a huge benefit between a bigger facility and one of your homes. What are some of the other benefits? I mean, you've kind of talked about the activities and things like that. What else do you kind of see as being a big benefit to somebody choosing Jewel over one of those bigger facilities?
Well, I think one of the greatest benefits is going to be we're making it family focused. The home is 24/7. The family can come. We are also putting a guest suite in the home for the family. We know that a family might have, you know, live out on the East Coast and they only get to come see grandma one time a year. Maybe it's Christmas or Thanksgiving. We want them to feel like they can come and not have to leave to go to a hotel, then turn around and come back again. We want them to come in, pop popcorn, put on their sweats, pull mom, grandma, whoever it is, into. We have a TV room with a big screen so visually they can see it okay. And then they don't have to leave. They can go tuck in grandma or vice versa and focus on the family. We even have a pool and a jacuzzi, because we know sometimes the kids or grandkids come and, you know, grandma might be the love of their life for about 15 minutes. Then they need to be entertained elsewhere.
Yeah.
So we're offering that chance for them to swim and to just have something to do when they feel like, oh, I don't want to go see grandma. We want them to be excited to go see grandma.
Yeah. So what is the actual setting of your first house that you're opening up here next week? Is that
November 1st.
November 1st. Okay. So what is the setting? Kind of describe where it's at.
Well, I tell you, it's in the Lakewood area of Dallas, and we're the first one. Well, we're the only one right now. There might have been one before, but we don't know about it.
Right.
But right now, we are the one. The actual setting is in the Forest Hills area. It is a beautiful, quiet neighborhood. As a matter of fact, we've been visiting with the neighbors, getting everything set up, and they're walking their babies in their carriages. It's just going to be like being at home.
Yeah. And are the neighbors receptive towards this?
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
For somebody who might be listening and is intrigued by this, what's kind of the you don't have to get into too specifics here. What kind of cost would somebody be expecting for something like what you're
I tell you, we are lower than it would cost to go into a nursing home. But we are not having any set prices. We're going to meet with the family. We're going to talk about the situation and the level of care that's required.
Okay.
But the price that you're given at the get-go is the price. It will never change.
And that includes meals, housekeeping.
Yeah. We also will be welcoming in hospice, home health, any caregivers that the family might need. The door will be open for them. And even to tell you about the caregiver side of it, I've been doing this long enough to know how stressful and straining driving around in your vehicle for 14 hours a day, and you fly in and you fly out and you always just never feel a peace. One thing we're trying to do for the caregivers that come in there is we set up a space for them. We're going to have a computer system there that they can access and use if they want. Everything's going to be HIPAA protected.
Mm-hmm.
We have this really cool gadget HP has come out with now. You know how you put a piece of paper in your scanner and it takes forever to scan it and all this stuff? This is a new system that's called a flash. You push a button and it instantly takes a picture of it. It'll pop up on the front screen and that caregiver can send it to the physician. They can send it to the family. They can send it back to the charts, however they want to do it. And this is something that we'll set up with each individual caregiver company that comes in to simplify it. And alongside of that, we have our resident companion that's also a baker. And we want to treat the people that come through the door like they're part of the family.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be something every time they come in the door, whether she makes cupcakes or cookies or cakes, something just to make them feel at home while they do their notes or take care of their charting.
That's great. You talked a little bit about the book. Did you want to give the title of that if anybody wanted to?
Well, it's called The Triumph Book.
Okay.
And it is a book of 20 people that have experienced grief at different levels. And there are some stories in there that you just have to be prepared. But the story that I got to share was about when I was in Sri Lanka, was about one particular family, and he and his wife were the only two people to survive out of the village.
Wow.
And they lost all their family members. They lost their newborn. And it's unbelievable. And now, these years later, they've gone back to somewhat of their new normal in their life. And to talk to them now, they've settled back into what they have. So if you get the opportunity, it's called the Triumph Book. You can buy it online or where, or you can go to, well, I would say Borders, but they're gone now, aren't they?
Yeah.
But you can get it out there. Just put in the Triumph Book,
okay,
and it'll pop up on the computer.
That's great. If you had a piece of advice to give to seniors or their families as they kind of navigate through the stage of their life, what would you tell them?
Wow, a lot of stuff. But I've certainly not been around long enough to have the wisdom of most of our seniors. But I would look for what would make life normal.
Hmm.
Try to keep them in the atmosphere in their mind that life isn't, you're only making a change of location.
Wow.
Everything else can be the same.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know, at least since I've been doing this, I don't know if anybody's ever said that, but I totally agree. It's all about kind of keeping the familiarity as best possible and keep things as normal as possible for as long as possible, and that's really good. Go ahead.
In the house, something else that we're trying to help with that is that we're inviting the residents. You know, when you go into these homes, they're beautiful and they're decked out and all this stuff, but then they go to their bedrooms and there's their life.
Yeah.
At Jewel, we invite them to bring things to scatter throughout the house. We want pictures on the wall. We want family. We've got a family wall that's unbelievable. Wait till you see it. We have actually bought a huge hutch just for the purpose. If somebody wants to bring those figurines that mean the world to them, or their china, we're making it where they can place their things throughout the house. No matter what room they go in, they feel like they're walking in their room.
Yeah, that's really good. If people want to get some more information about Jewel Family Care Homes, where can they do that?
Well, they can either call 469-358-6580, or you can check out our website, which is just about finished. It's wonderful. You'll go there and you'll get a lot of information. It is at www.jewelcarehomes.com.
All right, Keith, I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with us and tell us a little bit about yourself as well as Jewel Family Care Homes.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And with that, we'll send it back to the crew in Atlanta.
Well, we certainly appreciate that information, Keith. Thank you very much. Kevin, thanks for hosting the show in Dallas. And we want to remind our listeners that if they wish to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, they can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you, and God bless.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.